I love the confidence of Ace. Very, very, very laborious and thorough analysis. Continuing. Before entering directly upon the question before me, I must say a word of the road I shall traverse. When Pascal approached a geometrical problem, he invented a method of solution. To solve a problem in philosophy, a method is equally necessary. Well, by how much do the problems of which philosophy treats surpass in the gravity of their results those discussed by geometry? How much more imperatively, then, do they demand for their solution a profound and rigorous analysis? It is a fact placed forever beyond doubt, say the modern psychologists, that every perception received by the mind is determined by certain general laws which govern the mind, is molded, so to speak, in certain types pre-existing in our understanding and which constitutes its original condition. Hence, say they, if the mind has no innate ideas, it at least has innate forms. Thus, for example, every phenomenon is of necessity conceived by us as happening in time and space. That compels us to infer a cause of its occurrence. Everything which exists implies the ideas of substance, mode, relation, number, etc. In a word, we form no idea which is not related to some one of the general principles of reason, independent of which nothing exists. These axioms of the understanding, add the psychologists, these fundamental types by which our judgments and ideas are inevitably shaped, and which our sensations serve only to illuminate, are known in the schools as categories. Their primordial existence in the mind is today demonstrated. They need only to be systematized and cataloged. Aristotle recognized 10. Kant increased the number to 15. Monsieur Cousin has reduced it to 3. Oh no, to 2. No, to 1. And the indisputable glory of this professor will be due to the fact that if he has not discovered the true theory of categories, he has at least seen more clearly than anyone else the vast importance of this question. The greatest, and perhaps the only one, with which metaphysics has to deal. I confess that I disbelieve in the innateness not only of ideas, but also of forms or laws of our understanding, and I hold the metaphysics of Reid and Kant to be still farther removed from the truth than that of Aristotle. However, as I do not wish to enter into a discussion of the mind, a task which would demand much labor and be of no interest to the public, I shall admit the hypothesis that our most general and most necessary ideas, such as time, space, substance, cause, exist originally in the mind, or at least are derived immediately from its constitution. He's got better things to do. Didn't he tell us last week that intelligence used in the battle of words is like intelligence used in battle, wasted intelligence. But it is a psychological fact, nonetheless true, and one to which the philosophers have paid too little attention, that habit, like a second nature, like a false self, I ask, has the power of fixing in the mind new categorical forms, like obedience, like a master, like submission to authority, I'm asking, derived from the appearances which impress us, and by them usually stripped of objective reality, but whose influence over our judgments is no less predetermining than that of these so-called original categories. Hence, we reason by the eternal and absolute laws of our mind, and at the same time, by the secondary rules, ordinarily faulty, which are suggested to us by imperfect observation, or one's parents, maybe, I ask. This is the most fecund source of false prejudices and the permanent and often invincible cause of a multitude of errors. The bias resulting from these prejudices is so strong that often, even when we are fighting against a principle which our mind thinks false, which is repugnant to our reason, and which our conscience disapproves, we defend it without knowing it. We reason in accordance with it, and we obey it while attacking it. Enclosed within a circle, our mind revolves about itself until a new observation, creating within us new ideas, brings to view an external principle which delivers us from the phantom by which our imagination is possessed. And we've quoted that in several shows, and I find it enormously encouraging. Hope Alice got a chance to read it.